Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to my podcast. This is Podcasting with Nini. Today, I wanted to give some advice to anybody in relationships with people that are like Chad Wheeler, Kanye West, people who have been like diagnosed with being bipolar. I'm not on here to bash them. I'm not on here to bash them at all, but I wanted to say that people that are diagnosed with being bipolar and having other things, I think, this is my opinion, what happens is they take their medication, right? They'll take it whenever they're supposed to take it. Then they start feeling better. They feel like they've got everything under control, so they will miss a time where they need to be on their medication. They won't take it, and they will be fine that day. They will be fine, I don't know, maybe that week or something. I'm not a professional, I don't know. They'll be fine maybe that day, they'll be fine maybe that week. Then they will skip another scheduled time that they're supposed to take their medication because they think, they feel fine, they feel like they can handle themselves, it's under control, everything's smooth. What ends up happening, they spiral out of control, right? And when they have loved ones or people in their lives, what ends up happening is just what we've seen in the news nowadays, with Chad Wheeler like almost taking his girlfriend out. Like, the pictures of her face was horrific. He dislocated her shoulder. Like, to me, that just reading about what happens to me sounds like attempted murder, especially she said when she came to that he said something like, I'm surprised you're getting up or something like that as he's sipping on his smoothie. So, yeah. And, you know, I'm glad he does know and recognize that he needs help. I don't know if he will have any real jail time or get any more help than he's already getting. He's already on medication. For people like Kanye West, who they're on medication, same thing. They feel like they're okay. They may be able to go by a day or a week or 2 weeks or just who knows. Like I said, I don't know. If they skip the time that they're supposed to take medication, maybe they'll do it once or twice. They start spiraling out of control, and before they know it, they spiral out of control. Like, really bad situations. There are people like that that haven't been diagnosed. There are people that are bipolar that haven't even been diagnosed as being bipolar, and a lot of times they'll say that they don't remember, you know, doing some of the things that they did. Now, with my ex-husband, and I've talked about him, you know, a lot on my other stories, on my other podcast stories. I haven't diagnosed him. Yeah, I don't know if he's ever been diagnosed as being bipolar or anything like that, but one time, he came home. I think I mentioned this on another podcast, but he came home. I took the kids to his condo because I was at a time and space in my life where I was literally forcing the kids on him because I wanted him to see the kids, because if I didn't take them to his condo, he would have never seen them. He would have never paid for them. He would have never seen them. Like, we were like, he was like literally trying to forget about us 100%, but I wasn't allowing that to happen. I'm taking the kids to his condo. So on the one time that I took the kids to his condo, because I wanted them to see him. I wanted him to see them, you know. I had a baby. He was my baby. He was like a year and a half or two. Might have been 2 years old at the time. I'm not sure. But my ex-husband at the time, he was my husband then, he's my ex-husband now, but one time he came home from work. I didn't know that he got fired. He came in a fit of rage, and he headbutted me. He headbutted me because I missed his phone call, and he comes in a rage and saying, like, I called you 3 or 4 times, you didn't pick up the phone, who do you think you are? Most of the time I pay for the phone, you need to be answering my phone calls. I better be glad he even calls me, and just in a complete fit of rage. Now, I didn't know he had gotten fired that day. Like, I didn't know anything. He just came in being a monster. So he headbutted me, nearly knocked me out. Like, I was not conscious for a second. And And when I say knock me out, like, I didn't go to the hospital or anything like that. I got me and the kids out of there really quickly. But parts of the memories that I remember, I just remember opening my eyes and he was shattering my cell phone, like picking up, throwing it at the wall, like a lot of times, and throwing it at the bedpost, the head of the bed, like it shattered, like completely shattered. It looked like black dust. Like this phone didn't even have a screen anymore. Like, just in a fit of rage. So I wanted to give advice to anybody who's listening who's staying in situations like that. I want to give advice on a few points. If you do not have money, you need to get a website, start making some money. Become an Amazon affiliate, like get some extra money. And you know what? In situations like this, when you get your online business started, sometimes you don't need to tell everybody everything just because they may be a family member or a close friend. Like, ladies or anybody, men who's in these situations, sometimes just keep things to yourself. Get your online business started, whether you're selling digital products or just, you know, there's so many ideas out there. Just go on Google. Google is your best friend. So, I mean, you can do anything. And the reason why I'm saying an online business, because a storefront, like, that's going to have a higher cost. It takes a longer time. It's going to be faster and easier to make a website, pay somebody to make a website for you. Like, get an online business started, get some money. And this is advice for people who do not have money. I didn't have money to just pick up and leave like that. So if you're in a situation like that, you know that you're in the situation, because you're sticking around for whatever multiple reasons you might be sticking around. You might be keeping yourself in an unhealthy situation because you're saying you're doing it for the kids, you know, just like I did. You might, multiple reasons. Sometimes we have religious backgrounds where we tolerate more than we actually need to, because we're trying to stay dutiful and trying to, you know, continue to earn God's blessings. Meanwhile, we're nearly being killed half to death. God does not want that for us. We're supposed to be helping ourselves. Like, you can get counseling. If counseling is not working, because usually counseling doesn't work, because if one person's working at it, it does not work. Two people have to be working at it. So if it's not working because only one person wants to work at it, and you've tried every other avenue, and you do not have money, you need to be able to get some money so that you're able to pick yourself up, if it's just you or if it's somebody who has a child or children, so that you'll be able to move yourself from that situation. For people who do have money, you need to get a lawyer, because there's a lot of people in really bad situations in relationships and marriages that actually have money and they are still in their situations. You need to have lawyers. And even still, I say at the end of the line, you still need to get yourself out of that situation. Money or no money, you need to not be in a situation where somebody is just going to pop off and almost take your life. Like, it's just not right. You may be working on it yourself, but if it's an extremely unhealthy situation like that, like these stories that are public and, you know, come across our timelines and things like that, like, we see these stories. Don't be afraid. I mean, I'm saying, you know, leave and get yourself out of these situations. There's a lot of, you know, hurt. There's a lot of pain that actually comes with detaching yourself as well. And the world is waiting to devour anybody. So it's not going to be easy to get up and move out of those type of situations. But neither is staying in it. Neither is staying in it. And for whoever's listening to this thinking, well, you would rather stay with the pain, you know, don't think like that. Don't think like that. You don't want to end up in a hospital because you're, you know, trying to stay with the pain that you're comfortable with or the pain that you know. And then sometimes we just don't know how to get out of situations. There's some people who just don't know how to. I just wanted to give some advice. You need to have, if you don't have any money, you need to get some money so that you're able to move around, so you can move around. Like, For example, like once he kicked us out of the house, a house that he didn't even live in, once he kicked us out of our house, I didn't have the money to, the police officers put me up in hotels and Airbnbs and stuff like that. You know, at the beginning, they held my hand and put me up in hotels and Airbnbs. If I had my own money, once he kicked us out, I could have done that myself. I wouldn't have had to drive the first night that he kicked us out. I wouldn't have had to drive the entire city the whole night. First of all, I couldn't sleep because I couldn't believe he did that. And the boys, both the boys were in the back seat and they were sleeping. And I literally drove the entire city of Houston just in a state of disbelief. But if I had the money, some money, I could have just went straight to a hotel and paid for it myself, or Airbnb, or I would have just went and got an apartment like right away. I would have started renting like right away. So having some money helps. For the people who already have money and they're just in it, in the situation, you see signs and signals, just like Chad Wheeler's girlfriend saw some signs before this happened to her. I have not talked to her. I haven't. But I know she has seen him pop off here and there about some things. She stayed. I'm sure she probably didn't think that that was going to happen to her. She wouldn't have stuck around for that. But she stayed. And for many reasons, I'm sure she stayed. She loved him. Or she just didn't think that that would happen to her. Like, there's many, many reasons. So yeah, for the people with money, you need to have a lawyer. You need to have a plan B of a place that you're going to stay. Have other people around. I'm trying to think, like, because I didn't have money. But I'm thinking if I was in a situation like where I did have money, I probably would have had a lawyer for just in case something like this should happen, because you kind of know somewhere on the inside that you're not free from this person's terror. So, yeah, one day I'm gonna have some guests on my podcast where I could interview a guest, or the person could interview me. But I've talked a lot about my situation already. Don't let it go. Don't let situations, relationships, marriages go so far like this, because you don't know what to do. You're afraid of what to do. You tell people, but a lot of times people can't really help. What ends up happening is you end up, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen, but a lot of times what happens is people will end up being in a really bad place in their life, and then they end up having to pay a coach, a counselor, a life guidance person to help them get themselves out of the situation that ultimately they just stayed in, for fear of just whatever. They get paralysis and they stay in it. My situation, in my mind, I kept making it be, you know what, he's my husband, I love him, I'm gonna help him. You know, he didn't have a great childhood, which everybody doesn't have a great childhood. Sometimes that doesn't mean anything. People have bad childhood and they become amazing adults because they had a bad childhood. Some people have bad childhood and they become horrible adults because they had a bad childhood. It's all in the way that the person is going to handle it. It has everything to do with if the person is willing to do that inner work and overcome, you know, traumas and things that have happened to them in their lives. Bottom line is, don't wait until you're in a situation where you have to pay somebody to help you get your own self together because you have been ripped apart spiritually, emotionally, physically, psychologically, on every level. Your head is spinning. You don't know whether you're coming or going. Just a really bad situation. So, like I said, I don't want to bash, you know, Chad Wheeler or Kanye West. Like, I don't want to bash them. They know they're bipolar. They know they have been diagnosed. They're on medication. But for the people who are in those situations, if you don't have to be, don't be in it. Stop thinking that you're not going to get remarried or no one else is going to, you know, don't get into a self-deprecating place where you're just feeling helpless and you don't want to move on, or you'll never have access to that kind of money again, or, you know, he's so tall, he's so strong, or she's so beautiful that you're just allowing yourself to get abused. Because in the end, you don't know if you'll be a survivor of their attacks, or if it's a person who's bipolar who doesn't really attack, but they have like these emotional breakdowns that's just keeping you exhausted. And like, got to put yourself first. Self-love is more than just fixing your hair, fixing your makeup, taking a shower. People do that every day, every single day, and they have like the lowest self-esteem. See, that's a normal part of life, showers and bathing and brushing your hair. Like, yes, that is self-love. That is. But helping yourself to not be kicked around and emotionally torn apart, that is a huge part of self-love. That's right up at the top. That's first priority. More than brushing your hair. Taking care of your inner self. Being able to say no. Creating boundaries and keeping the boundaries part is the hardest part, because it's just like myself. I used to fold so easily if somebody would just push over my boundary that I created for them, because they're showing me they have no respect for me. They do not care. Like, I would still just so easily fold when people would, you know, pressure me and not care about my boundaries and still try to walk on top of me. Like, I was in a space where I didn't even know that I didn't love myself. Like, people talk about self-love. There's videos of people like exfoliating their skin, and it doesn't really go deep. Self-love goes really deep. You need to, when people say put yourself first, sometimes people don't know how to put themselves first. They don't even know what that means. I was in a space where I didn't even know what putting myself first meant. Like, not the true meaning of it. The true meaning of putting yourself first is other people know to come to you last to ask for random favors. That's what that means to me. They know to come to you last to ask for random favors. Because why? You knew you had plans and you're going to tell them, I'm not doing that. Why? I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I'm not going to do that. I didn't have a plan to do that. I'm doing something else. And then you don't even tell them what the something else is. That is self-love. And you can say it in the kindest way, as long as you are holding true to your boundaries. Because like I've said before on my other podcast, even a nice person will run over another nice person. It's happened to me before. I have a really nice friend, but me being nicer or more naive than she at times would, you know, run all over me. Because why? I'm just being a marshmallow for no reason, and she saw me as just in a way almost like worthless. After a while, she didn't even care, and she's actually a nice person, but she still did it to me. I had to wake up at some point. And like I said, it's not like I was trying to people please or be codependent. It just, for me and other people, sometimes it takes nothing to be nice to somebody. It takes nothing. It's not like you're, like I said before, it's not like you're trying to be kind to someone to get something back. It's not always like that. I know the word codependency or people pleasing, that is thrown around a lot, but in my situation, it wasn't like I was trying to please someone. If someone needed their daughter's hair done and they didn't know how to do their daughter's hair or whatever, oh, like, you know, tomorrow, can you do my daughter's hair? Oh, yeah, sure. Like, it wasn't even a thought of, I'm trying to do this so this person can like me. And I don't even think it was like a subconscious thing. It was just, we're friends. If I wanted to come to this person's house and eat fruit and watch my show, I know I could do that. It was more along the lines of, this is, you know, just friendship. It wasn't like I'm trying to be overly nice to have someone be nice back to me. And I'm getting off on an entire rant, but yeah, take care of yourself first. If you're in relationships with people like this and you have no money, get your money together. Get out of a situation like that. Stop thinking that because you don't know every single time when they're not going to take their medication. You don't know. You don't know. You don't want to be that person with the bet, you know, him or her take a bet to your head because you just don't know when they haven't taken their medication. If you are a person with money in those situations, take all kinds of precautions. If you've done the most you can, you have your lawyer and you've worked on your relationship, a lot, but it's still overly emotionally draining to where you can't even focus on the things that you need to do in that day, it may be time to step away from that relationship. And this is not a podcast about everybody be single. No, I'm just talking about for unhealthy situations. Help yourself out of it. And yeah, that's as much as I'm going to say about that right now. I need to make a phone call in about 5 minutes, so I hope this gets somebody thinking. I hope this advice can help somebody who listens. And I will talk to you another time when I have something else to say. Thank you for listening.